Coming up on TMS, Queer and Present Danger.
Hunger Games for Hillbillies.
Drunk Cherries.
I can't believe it's not butt tar.
Underwear Crapnel.
Would you like fries with that, baby?
Hairiest Gayest Bear Man.
Jumb Buck and Tucker is my favorite Starsky and Hutch spinoff.
Peepoo is the new Love the Show, though.
Undie Fragments.
Screams and Carapace Air.
A Krabby Royale with cheese.
Medieval End Times.
Isn't there a giant hamburger mayor called Mayor McSomething?
Backstabby Romulan with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
We have to be careful if you want to live a long time.
That was my left testicle.
The Morning Stream. This damn bike. I hate this bike. I hate this freaking bike, stupid bike.
Good morning and welcome to TMS, everybody. It is the Morning Stream for November 28th, 2022. It is episode 2382. Just to confuse you with all these numbers.
Oh my gosh, those are so many numbers.
That's a lot, man. I can't believe we're almost 2,400 episodes. It won't be that long until we hit that.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
You don't really celebrate 2,400, though, right? Like, who cares?
No. No, I'm trying to think of my mind keeps going to the 2,600. So yeah. Will we play Atari when we get to 2,600?
Oh, that sounds like fun. We could play...
A year from now.
Yeah. it would sound like this. Everything sounds like that.
Oh, look at that.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. It's so bad. Anyway, the sound chip on the 2600 was garbage. Let me just put that out there for the world to hear. And now let's move on with the proper show. How was your Thanksgiving? Man, Bob, we had the turkey and the whatnot and the things and the stuff. And it was all very nicely contained. With just my kids and the house, Carter notwithstanding, she's over in Iceland. But she made Thanksgiving for a bunch of her foreign friends, new friends over there. And had like homemade American jambalaya, and they all loved it.
Which seems like it'd be a lot better than a baked sheep head. I saw that photo and I'm forever scarred.
Isn't that, that's normal for them, she says. They all love it.
Right.
They buy a whole sheep's head in a thing, and then you go cook it up, grill it up, whatever, and just eat the head.
I'd like the cheek, please. Can I have the cheek?
I don't want that at all, dude. Yeah, the cheek. No. Give us the cheek.
The cheek. I want the cheek. Nikki Ackerman's, I hope she did not see that photo because that would be.
Oh, she'd just figure out a way to clone it, and then we'd have two.
That's right.
We just have two.
Like, can I have some of the cells from that for my...
So you did the double up thing, right? Or maybe even three of these?
We did the double up. We had a Thanksgiving with my family on Thursday. Went to Uncle George and Aunt Barb's house. They grilled a turkey and then deep fried a turkey. So we had two different styles, two different... like levels of crispiness on the outside, which was great. It was all of it was moist. It was like, you know, just how you want it. Potatoes, sweet potatoes and green bean casserole and
be great if those turkeys were like related, like they were siblings or something, you know?
What's that?
If those turkeys were related.
What's happening to you? I'm getting put in the deep fryer. How about you, Bob? Oh, I'm getting grilled. We'll see you in a few hours.
Way more want to get grilled than deep fried, I think, if I was a turkey.
I don't know. I mean, it's a quicker.
That's true. And it's not like you put them in there live, so they're already long dead.
No, it's not like lobster.
Yeah. No, but whenever you do like crawfish or lobster, I always think, this is terrible what we're doing to them.
Yeah.
Like to keep them fresh and good, we have to do it this way, but you can hear them like screaming or whatever the hell that sound is they make.
It's just all the air escaping from their carapace.
Oh, it's even worse. It's even worse.
We also did a thing Friday night, had a second Thanksgiving with the real Chris Brown and his kids, two of his kids.
Yeah.
And that one was great because we actually got leftovers from that one. We got no leftovers from Thursday, but we did end up getting leftovers Friday. So,
whoa, Thursday you had two turkeys and no leftovers. That's crazy.
Right, exactly. And then Friday we had one turkey and lots of leftovers, and everybody ended up with leftovers. For that one, we were going to do those that fry day thing where my friends had the deep fryer.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going to make little hand pies, pumpkin pies, and cherry pies. I ended up making those, but I just cooked them myself as opposed to deep frying them with at the party that got pushed a week out. And I took those to Chris Brown's thing. Those ended up great. Really, really good. I cooked the cherries with some bullet bourbon which gave them a nice like richness.
There's nothing better than cherries that are like treated that way. I love
it. Yeah. Drunk cherries, baby.
Like real cherries wouldn't even recognize them. Real cherries would go, who the hell are you? It's like
those cherries are the ones that have been out too long. They, you know, coming in late, smelling of booze.
Oh, yeah. They don't. I don't even know you anymore, that cherry would say to the other cherry.
Exactly. Oh, it was terrible. But sounds good, though. I had a good 2 days of eating, and now I'd like to start making the graph in Noom go the other direction.
Oh, down, okay. All right.
Preferably.
That hurt. Yeah, hurry up, because Christmas is looming.
Exactly.
It doesn't want you to lose any weight either. While I was in between things, there's a lot that went on this weekend. One thing I can't even talk about yet, but the one thing I do want to talk about is I discovered that Quentin Tarantino, the director, sounds like SpongeBob, and I brought proof.
Okay.
All right.
Let's hear it.
Here's some audio proof of what I'm talking about. So first, let's hear Tarantino in just a little piece of an interview he was doing. And I don't even remember the context. He was talking about fans trying to talk to him or something. Here's what he said. So see if you can tell the part where he sounds like SpongeBob.
And then even like walking outside, like some tourist family were like,
all right.
I think I found it, Scott. I think you found it? The point at which he, yes.
So here's Tarantino. And here's SpongeBob. Now, it's not quite the vibrato-y thing that SpongeBob does, the wow, wow, wow kind of thing, but it's there.
Hey, let me see your feet.
Sandy Cheeks, where's your feet? Show me your feet.
That's right.
Oh, my Lord. Anyway.
You ever had a crusty crab burger with cheese? You know what they call those in France?
They call them something royal. There you go. Nailed it. Anyway, I just had to share it because that's freaking weird. And
that's great.
I don't know why it stuck in my head, but it did. You also saw a movie. I want to see this movie, The Menu. It's got two Mad Max alumni in it. One who just finished filming a new Mad Max film.
Yeah, I was going to say alumni for a film that hasn't come out yet. Could you?
I think it still counts, but not barely. I mean, whatever. It's just interesting to see Nux and Furiosa in the same.
That's right. A Furiosa thing. To be. Yes. Yeah. Anya Taylor-Joy, Nicholas Holt. You've also got Judith Light from Who's the Boss?
Oh, my Lord.
I haven't seen her in forever. Weird. John Leguizamo is in this. Ralph Fiennes, of course, is kind of the menu. The menu. I liked it for what it is. It's absolutely like a biting social commentary. And it's Adam McKay, so it shouldn't surprise anybody.
Oh,
it's
very, I didn't know this is an Adam McKay joint. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's very Don't Look Up. I felt it reminded me a lot of The Hunt with Betty Gilpin, that like Hunger Games for Hillbillies kind of thing. I don't know the better description of that, but
I don't remember The Hunt.
The Hunt was just a few years ago. Like this woman wakes up with a handcuffed or tied up or something. Let me see if I can find. It's been a while since I've seen The Hunt, and
I can't find Adam McKay's name on any of this. Let's see. Director.
Oh, really?
Mark Mylod. Writer Seth.
I'm sorry. He was producer, not director. Mike Mylod is the director, but
okay. All right.
And Will Ferrell is another. Producer on this thing, but it feels like it's right up the same alley as Don't Look Up, and where it's, you know, you've got those movies that are very thinly veiled social commentary, and you don't, you know, you're like, oh, I guess this kind of does represent the haves and the have nots and this one, there's no veil. It's basically like, oh, hey, here's a bunch of horrible people.
Yeah, that makes
what
sense.
What would you like to have happen to these horrible people?
When you hire Paul Adelstein, you basically are saying, hey, we need a douchebag. Right. You know, probably a nice guy in real life. I'm not making any judgments there, but Paul Adelstein plays nothing but douchebags. So yeah,
pretty much.
Nice.
I have to look up Paul Adelstein because I don't know.
Oh, you'll know him in a heartbeat. Here, I'll send you a thing.
Thanks.
He's, there he is.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that guy. He's just always a douche. Is he a douche in this? I assume he is. Got to be a douche, right? In this movie?
I'm sure. Oh, he is in this movie, but he's,
In real life, I'm sure he's nice.
I'm sure he's fine. Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah, he's all right.
I'm sure.
So give me a scale, like a review.
I would say amazing that a movie like this still can have a lot of crazy food porn in it. Because you're basically looking from the previews, you know that Ralph Fiennes is this incredible chef who's got this island paradise where he serves a select number of guests at a time, a custom menu. There you go. That's
sure.
That's kind of all you need to know. But there's a lot of food porn, this such and such reduction with the bone marrow, blah blah, and sparklets of this kind of seawater thing and that sort of thing.
I haven't seen the trailer even, so I don't even know. It sounds like to me I'm going to make a guess here, but I also don't want to spoil anything, but I'm guessing.
I probably won't tell you if you're right or wrong.
Yeah, here's the rules. I will say a thing, Brian, completely not stone obligated face, to answer
no
this.
No reaction if no need be.
If you want to, great. You don't have to, though. So here's my initial impression from the poster. Bunch of rich people go to a place where an enigmatic master chef makes them a bunch of food, and then at the end it turns out they're eating poor people or something. Am I anywhere in the right territory?
Did I stay stone-faced enough to not give anything away?
You did, but honestly, that is all. I've not seen the trailer. I know nothing. I just have this feeling. You know,
From looking at the movie poster, what I would gather is a bunch of people are in a movie where they forgot to turn the lights on.
Oh, great.
Except lots for of, one flashlight with a camera.
Lots of dark, dark stuff. All right. Very nice.
That's right.
Well, cool. Anyway, worth seeing in theaters, waiting for it to come home?
I would
home,
say, like, oh, no, I think this one, you can probably wait till it's streaming. There's beautiful cinematography, but it's nothing that you have to race out and see. The only... there's some potential of things getting spoiled if you wait too long, but other than that, I'd say no, you're not in any hurry to go see this in theaters.
Is it Oscar bait, or do you think they'll?
Maybe original screenplay.
Okay,
but probably I would say probably not. I mean, we're already seeing so many things coming up that look like they're going to be. That they're going to dominate the Oscars, Fablemans and Till is one of them, but then there's another one, Tar.
Oh,
Till and Tar.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
sounds like a comedy group or something.
I haven't heard of Tar.
Tar
is with Kate Blanchett, I believe, and it's about a...
Oh, the guitar lady. Right?
Really? Okay.
No, she's something with music. Maybe that's just her name. Yeah.
Conductor, yeah.
Lydia Tarr, sorry. For some reason, I hear the name Tarr and I thought guitar.
Guitar, right,
and
sure.
And she was a famous guitarist, but no, she's like a conductor.
She plays the guitar and she comes from Qatar and she... She uses a lot of buttar.
Yeah,
on her
buttar.
Food
oh, and, man. I can't believe it's not buttar she'll use. that seems really... I mean, she's always good, so whatever.
Always good. So, yeah, this is one that's probably, another one that's going to come around.
Yeah, at least her anyway.
Oscar time. Yeah. Now is the time that Tina and I start ramping up our movie watching with the... Oh, here are the early ones we think that are going to be... Oscar bait, and then as we start getting closer and all the Hollywood rags start putting out there, these are the movies you must see before Oscar night, we start looking at kind of the ones that they all seem to agree on and seeing those.
Yep. And I assume this year you're going to do like you always do, you're going to go for it and watch them all.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh absolutely. Yeah, we always enjoy that, and
it's the Ibbit way, and I love it because then I get to hear about stuff I never see or won't see for a while or whatever.
or will perpetually keep on a list to never watch again.
I mean, when was it 2019 that Parasite won that year?
I think 2018. I can't remember.
You might be right. It's been that long. Jeez, I need to hurry up.
You do.
Freaking Hulu has it. Well, I don't know why.
Which one, I'm sorry, was 2019.
It was 2019. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, did they give him the award in 2019 for a film that came out in 2018?
No, I think it was a movie that came out in 2019 and won the Oscar in 2020.
Right. That was the last one before the pandemic business. That makes sense.
Yes. I think that's right. So, yeah, I don't even know if Parasite is still on Hulu.
It is. It's always there.
It is. Okay. Yeah.
It looks at me every time I come in and it goes, what are you doing? I think it makes me feel guilty. Every time I use Hulu, I'm like, I'm just coming through for some Futurama. Excuse me, pardon me. And that movie's going, what are you doing?
Look, how about me?
Yes, but it does it in Korean. So I'm like, I can't understand. I don't have that stuff. I'm good.
You know, and if you like the subtitles, Scott, wait till you hear my recommendal this week, because there's so many. There are people having conversations in two different languages that can't understand each other, and you're watching the subtitles for both of them. Sign me up. Yeah, get ready for a novel dressed as a movie.
I can't wait. Oh, it's a movie. All right, we already have a hint, everybody. Not a television show.
Actually, it's not. It's a television
show. Oh, damn it!
It's a series.
But it's cinematic in its presentation, right?
It is cinematic in its presentation, yes.
Well, then what else can you even ask for? All right. Well, I know what we can ask for. We can ask for Dunaway to pick up his gosh dang phone.
Ask for one of those.
We got rings of ringage, no rings of speakage. I don't know if that means he's busy or what he's doing. Oh, there he is. I see it. Okay, now this. Let's have a rousing welcome to our old pal Brian Dunaway joining us for a little bit of the morning half asses here on a Monday. Hello, Brian. Welcome back. Oh, we no hear him.
He no speaky to us. Brian Dunaway, are you muted?
He must
you're
be.
You're not seeing any green outlines, so no rings of speakage.
No, probably just need to change your source or something. And he's doing it. I can see him now. Just freaking out, trying to figure it out, clicking, pushing buttons, trying to figure it out. He's like...
like changing settings, turning things on and off again.
He might pick up his phone just as an alternative, which is totally fine. We'll take it any way we can get you. But we wait. We do it patiently.
We wait.
Yeah. We don't...
We know that on the other end of this, there'll be good things.
Oh, basically. We know that there will
be. We know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know.
The knowledge is true.
Did he hang up and disconnect and reconnect? Is that the deal?
Oh, is that him now?
Hello.
Oh, there he is. We hear you now.
We got him.
Oh, hi. All I had to do was close Discord completely and end it and then restart it.
Oh,
sweet.
Weird. That's weird. That actually happened to me with you.
I love it when it does that.
That happened with me and you guys on Saturday for Playdate. I couldn't talk for a whole bunch of time. I had to reboot it. It was weird.
We talked for quite a while before we finally realized
And I think it was, it's the Windows version of Discord, because this doesn't happen on my Mac ever, but the Windows version is always doing weird shit like this. But that may be a Windows sound system thing. I don't know.
I don't know.
Miami sound machine. Hey, Dunaway, it's good to have you back. How you doing there, dude?
I'm doing good, brother. Yes, brother.
That sounds good. Well, snap into a Slim Jim as we venture forth into a little half-assed territory. Hey, Brian, why don't you explain to us what we're doing here and who's going to win stuff?
Well, okay, if I must. Welcome to the Morning Half-Ass is a trivia game where I'm going to be giving the two of you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers. Three of those answers are ding. Three of those answers are depending on how confident you feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if any of those guesses are wrong, you get nothing. Good day, sir. If you guess one and get it right, you get a point. Two right gets you 3 points, and three right gets you 5. We're going to play three rounds, and the person with the most points wins the prize for their contestant. By the way, those contestants, let's introduce them now from our tadpool that can't be here live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Adam Prowse in Logan, Utah, local boy.
Yeah, I like that.
Little local boy.
And Brian, someone closer to you, as a matter of fact, you're going to be playing for John in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, hi, John.
Hello. Baberick is Wiener. Let's do this. Very exciting. I don't think we've ever had anybody from Logan on before. Logan is cold and windy and kind of terrible, except they had one of the most amazing Utah State University is one of the best illustration schools in the country.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh,
so if you're out there and you're like, man, I think I want to go into illustration, and you're hard up for a choice, that you should look into it. That's really good.
Where is Logan? It's further north from you, right?
Yeah, definitely about an hour and a half north.
Hour and a half north. Okay. Yeah.
It's a fine little town, but it's just cold and windy this time of year, to the point that I can barely handle it while I'm there.
Okay, whatever, John Cougar Mellencamp. Sing us a song about it.
Yeah, I'll make a song about it. You wait. Well, it'll be my next big hit. You wait. You watch.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to these hits right here. We're going to start off with medieval weapons. So three of these are real medieval weapons. Three of these are things that probably are made up. Your choices are the caravel, the culverin, the glaive, the planchet, the manse, and the arbalest.
Oh, my Lord.
These all sound real because I did not live in the medieval times.
That's right.
And all that sounds like
no Diet Coke in medieval times. Oh, no, it's you don't have silverware in medieval times because there was no silverware in medieval times. Can I refill your Diet Coke?
Yeah, the thing they definitely didn't have in medieval times. I've never been, not once. You guys have all been. I've never been.
Oh, really? I thought you came during a BlizzCon.
Always tried, and something was always up. Like the last time I was there, the stupid stage thing I did. Well, it wasn't stupid, but whatever. That killed all my. Because we had rehearsals and stuff. It was annoying. Because I thought that was the year I was going to finally get to go, and I didn't get to. But
anyway. You know, I'm trying to think of if there's something like that at in Vegas. I want to say it's at Excalibur, but it's not an actual medieval times. It's like Excalibur's version of medieval times.
I would do
maybe,
that.
Maybe we do a something there.
I would love that. That sounds great.
A little tadpole get together.
Oh, I'm so excited for this year's. I'm so excited.
I am too. By the way, for those of you who weren't in the chat room earlier, I can tell you the contract has been signed.
Woo! Oh.
It is in the hands of the Plaza. They're giving us some codes to give everybody to get rooms, and it's going to be awesome. April 24th through 28th.
I got swag already planned. I got some ideas.
Do you?
Yeah. Nice. Tickets soon-ish since we have dates. There's no reason why we can't do it sooner than later.
For sure.
It's going to be great. You guys, Vegas is great. You guys are great. Claire's coming. What else can you ask for? Oh,
she's
my gosh.
Great too.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
Cool. Anyway, let's see what your answers are here. Wow. Neither of you chose glaive. I thought for sure glaive would be
no, because I think it's a fantasy thing, isn't it? It's not really.
I wasn't sure. I was like, I don't know. Is it too fantasy? I definitely know it's a fantasy thing.
Yeah, the actual glaive is not a five-pointed little spinny star thing like they had in Krull. Right. But it is a pole arm.
It is a pole. Okay.
Damn it.
The caravel, the planchet, and the manse. None of those are correct.
Oh, damn it.
Are the culverin, which is a musket, the glaive, which is a polearm, and the arbalest, which is a crossbow.
If I end up going back in time, I'm screwed.
Yeah, you are screwed. You'd say,
hand me that planchette. It's time to go to war.
Hand me that planchette. It's time for an Oscar.
Yes. If you're out of planchettes, I'll take a caravel, please.
Exactly. All right. Well, you'll do better on this second one. I feel like it. These are terms from cricket. You know, the game cricket.
Oh my God.
Jerry Seinfeld made fun of in a famous American Express commercial.
Yeah.
Your choices are chin music, jumbuck, lollipop, tucker, swagman, and ton.
Much easier than the last one.
Zoe.
If there's anything I know more than medieval weaponry is cricket. Yes.
It's cricket. Exactly. You know your cricket for sure. Which of these three things are terms used in the game cricket?
I'm choosing two because none of this looks right to me. But
yeah, none of it looks right.
It all looks like phony baloney.
You guys have both locked in. Let's see, Brian, you chose Swagman. Scott, you chose Jumbuck and Tucker. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to tell you that both of you have chosen all three incorrect answers.
The things that sounded fake were the ones that were real.
You all happen to choose things that come from the song Waltzing Matilda.
All three of those words come
from the song Waltzing Matilda.
Is that true? Oh, my gosh.
That is absolutely true. Yeah, chin music is when the pitcher throws the ball directly at the face of the batsman.
That's called chin music. Okay.
That's called chin music because it makes a sound. Ding! right off the Batman's
head. I'm loving this. Amazing. Okay.
A lollipop is an easy ball to hit, like, you know, basically a lob over home plate. And ton is when a batsman in one inning scores 100 runs.
Yeah, oh, my
I'm
gosh.
I'm just getting a feeling that, yeah, I haven't watched cricket, and I don't want to watch cricket now. Yeah. I don't want to hear no
I kind of want to know more.
Lollipop. Oh, look at the lollipop. No, yeah. I don't want to see
I
that.
Feel I like want I want to know more now. I feel like I've learned a little something. And this whole, the ton one is kind of weird, because could you say, oh, I scored a ton? And that literally means you scored over 100 runs.
But what's interesting is usually, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but don't the British people spell the weight something? When something weighs a ton, they spell it T-O-N-N-E.
Oh, right. Right.
So having a T-O-N is an interesting switch.
The British, so. Man. Who knows? They're a bunch of upper-class
They made up all those spellings, actually. I think it's
I hope you bring on another thing that I'm well-versed in.
Yeah, like
what's
number,
our third one?
Yeah, what's our
you
third
one? You know what? You guys are very good with movies. You guys are also very good with video games. However, this question is not about video games. It is about movies, though. We've got six actors here. Show me the three who've starred in a movie that begins with the letter Q.
Oh, I can
Your
do
choices
this.
Are Ralph Fiennes, Nick Nolte, Daniel Craig, Harrison Ford, Aaron Eckhart, and Tommy Lee Jones.
I can totally do this.
Can you?
Yep.
I'm already lost.
Nick Nolte, Aaron Eckhart. Oh shit! I know two for sure.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I know one for sure.
I know two for positive. Oh my gosh, this is gonna drive me nuts.
I love this question. I want so many questions like this.
Okay, this is really good. This is actually really good.
Yeah. We can think through this one, but it might take a while.
No, that's a great question. It's just an awesome question.
I love that. Some of the movie titles that people are coming up with in the chat room, like Queer and Present God. Danger.
Queer and Present Danger. Now it's gonna mess me up. Let's see.
Don't
Quitness. Anyway.
Quitness. Oh my God.
All right. I only know two. I'm locking them in.
Okay, Scott's locked in.
No, I'm still thinking. I'm there.
Okay. Oh, Brian. All right. Let's start with the one you guys both knew for sure.
Quantum of Solace. I mean, that's
Quantum
easy.
Quantum of Solace. Daniel Craig, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Scott, you pegged. Let me rephrase that. You chose Ralph Fiennes right away.
Quiz show, baby.
Quiz show. Absolutely.
Quiz show.
Love
that's
quiz
right.
show. The problem that I have an advantage there because I watched that movie. I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
It's so a great movie. Yeah. Brian, you for a while you had Nick Nolte. Who was in a little film called Q&A.
Oh, shit.
And then you switched to Tommy Lee Jones and screwed the whole thing up.
What was the Tommy Lee Jones one that you thought it was, Brian?
At that point, I was just like, I don't know, but Scott's already...
It feels like Tommy Lee Jones could have been in a Q&A.
Yeah, Scott's already locked into it, and I'm like, I don't know. There's got to be something with Tommy. Tommy Lee Jones has been in every movie ever, so I thought it was a good bet.
It's a decent bet. I'll give you that. It's a fair bet.
Yeah, so, Ralph Fiennes for Quiz Show, Nick Nolte for Q&A, and Daniel Craig for Quantum of Solace, and Harrison, Aaron, and Tommy Lee, none of those guys have been in a Q movie.
So, glancing at the chat, 48 hours, amazing. let's see, Quarry Potter for
Casino Royale.
Yeah, Casino Royale. Quindiana Jones. Oh my lord, you guys are amazing. All right, sorry. All right, so is that our last one? Is it or was it?
That was the last one.
Oh, number three. I won.
You succeeded. You won prizes for your friend there in Logan, Utah. Chilling out in Logan, Utah. Adam Prowse, you're going to get a copy of Corridor Z and Dear Esther.
Congratulations.
Oh, Landmark Edition.
You're a winner.
That's the one with the...
That's the best version of
that's
Dear
the one
Esther.
To get. Yeah, yeah. Actually, I don't know what the difference is, but it's a... Dear Esther.
Any copy of Dear Esther.
Dear Esther is so cool, though. It's such a weird, like, not scary, but I don't know what to call it. You know, some games they call them walking simulators. They're just sort of like an experience. This is definitely one of those. So you're not, killing people or anything like that. Okay. But it's this first person thing that just, it reminds me of like X-Files mixed with like Twin Peaks, and it just has a rad vibe. It's very good. Anyway.
Wow. Very cool. Well, Adam Prowse, you're getting those. But John, don't worry, down there in Jacksonville, Florida, you're getting a copy of DV Rings of Saturn. So you're going to be out in space while Adam is walking around looking at stuff.
Yeah. Take that. Hey, Dunaway, well, look, I think you tried. That's what I think.
I certainly tried.
I certainly tried.
Yeah. You tried your best.
If you give me long enough, I probably could have figured that last one out with the cues, but yeah. I had to go through each of the movies and I wasn't getting there.
No, it's hard.
If it doesn't come to you, it doesn't come to you. You know, it's like, yeah. it's tough.
You know what I'm finding? This COVID fog brain thing is real, but
yeah.
I'm forgetting things in the moment, but then I'm remembering stuff that there's no reason I should remember things. Like,
right.
It's
COVID
like
I'm, clarity.
Yeah, it's weird. And it's usually ancient stuff. Like, I don't know what it was the other day. Something happened. Somebody brought up something. And I went, oh, that's so-and-so from such-and-such. And it's this ancient thing nobody freaking knows about. And I'm like, why is that? How did I recall that? I don't get it. Anyway, I can barely remember either of your names right now.
You're using 100% of your brain over there.
There you go. Just like the rumors say. Hey, Dunaway, mm-hmm. Tomorrow we're going to do a little play retro. And we're talking about Mario Kart and all the cart likes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the fixins that go with it.
Yep. Diddy Kong, we're going to talk about. I saw Brian playing some of that. It looked really fun, mainly because you're crazy and talking to a Triceratops is weird and all that. Anyway, that game's weird, but I've got a bunch of other alternatives that I didn't even told Brian about that also were very cool. Oh,
Crash Team Racing, Diddy Kong, mm-hmm. Mario Kart 64. Those are the ones I played this past week. Yeah, so
I've already played a bunch of the SNES original Mario Kart. This week, and then I'm going to spend some time with a weird Konami game none of you have heard about that is one of the best Mario Kart likes ever made. You'll have to find out tomorrow at 3:30 Mountain Time at the live broadcast of Play Retro, or you can check out the podcast later. Wherever you get your podcast, just search for Play Retro. Brian Dunaway, anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
It already happened. Bye.
Know you.
He's gonna jump on next year.
Oh, okay. Thing. No, you know, it's never too late, right, Brian? You
want to? Never too early.
Or early too. Never too. Well, never, you know, too early.
It's never too late or too early if he's wishing everybody a past happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So, see, this is exactly right.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
That was a really great quiz today. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah, that was a fun final question. And actually, you know, I thought you guys would do better with the medieval weapons, but
I did too, because I've used almost everything you listed in some game or another, but for whatever reason, glaive, all I could think of was Kroll, and I'm like, there's no way that's real. But then now that you tell me,
you guys would do bad on the cricket terms, but I didn't realize how bad you would do. Like, basically choosing everything that wasn't a cricket term.
You didn't know we would zero that one out completely, but we did.
I did not.
All right. It's time for the news, everybody. Here we go. Today's breaking news brought to you by...
In appreciation for the Tadpool and all organic nerddoms everywhere, thanks, Squiggle and Bobble, for TMS and the community that's evolved around you. Your takes on the news and Tadpeepoo titles guarantee me smiles at every listen. Keep on keeping on. Love the show, though. Rogue Tess.
I wonder if that guy wrote in about the Peepoo knows that he's Peepoo. the new
He
meme.
Did not know that thing would have such legs.
No, Peepoo. You never know which thing's going to take off. The Love the Show, though. I can totally see why you like it. All those sorts of things. This is the new one. Peepoo, everybody.
Peepoo.
Tell your fellow Peepoo.
That's right. Use it in a sentence today with friends.
That's right. Here's your first story. There's an exploding toilet mystery.
Oh.
Yeah.
Aren't they all?
Well, it feels like they should be.
Is there an exploding toilet that's not a mystery?
I guess sometimes you know who did it or you saw the kid put
I guess there can be a planned toilet explosion.
Yeah. Did you do much M80 experimentation when you were a kid? You know?
Yes, but not with toilets. We threw a bunch of fireworks into a mall after they had closed.
Did you get in trouble for that? They catch you for that?
No, but this was a story. Me and Don Mosby getting chased all around Longmont, Colorado, because we decided to have an overnight there with no, you know, basically we just planned on taking the bus the next morning, and we ran all around. We had a smash up derby with Walmart shopping carts. filled the parking lot with Walmart shopping carts and then threw firecrackers into the Twin Peaks Mall.
Love it.
But never, no toilets. No toilets were harmed in our 12 hours of terror.
That's right. I have heard that story because Twin Peaks was a name.
I talked about this on TMS months ago or maybe even years.
Yeah. Because I have a Twin Peaks Elementary I went to. And so it reminded me of that.
That probably came up when we were talking about this.
Probably did. Did I ever tell you about the time I had a roommate? I had a roommate who used to, if he had to go to the bathroom, he would get undressed to do it.
Really? Fully? Yeah,
fully. So if he was
not just pants off, dance off, but like shirt and everything too?
Yeah. Well, maybe not shirt, now that you say it, but pants off, dance off for sure. Wow. He'd go in there and he would take off his pants. And here's how we confirmed it. We always assumed it, but here's why we can, because somebody saw him once or something. But here's the confirmation. We had a firecracker it was a bottle rocket. Uh-huh. And he's in there taking his business, you know, doing his thing.
Sure.
And we thought it'd be funny if we fired one of these under the door. So just went under there. And then we're like, oh, and he goes, what the? And then bam. And he goes, shit, you guys, you're effing this, effing that. Open up the door, and he comes out wearing a towel around his waist.
Oh, my God.
And floating in the air are bits of his underwear that exploded because the thing went underneath his underwear, which was on the floor because the guy disrobes.
Gotcha.
Exploded his underwear. So there were like little freaking undie fragments floating around and smoking there. Is one of the greatest moments of my life. It's fantastic.
I imagine that he also had no problem pooping at that point, at that moment.
Oh yeah, either that or he's never pooped since. You know, I
he
got to
jump on future poops as well.
Future poops.
that colon was clean.
Oh man, yeah, he never quite forgave us for that, but we never did it again. So. Well, anyway, there we have an exploding toilet situation in Texas in a dental office. Maggie Kiefer, works for the front desk at a Circle C Dental in South Austin. Let's get Jury over there.
Strange things afoot at the Circle C.
The Circle C. It's a weird name, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. This is on Tuesday morning. 31-year-old headed into work as the office usually does. When she arrived, she immediately recognized that something was off. Quote, there was an acidic, putrid smoke throughout the entire place. It burned to breathe. It was pretty scary, she says. Kiefer admitted. Sounds like Kiefer Sutherland is in this article.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Since her colleagues determined... Oh, I'm sorry. I got to ask you a question real quick about Kiefer.
Sure.
Are you caught up on... any of the Handmaid's Tale seasons at all?
Yeah, we are done. We finished the whole series.
So the guy that was Serena's bodyguard while she was in Canada.
Yes.
Who I don't want to give stuff away, but let's say the guy got shot. He didn't die, but he got shot. You know what I'm talking about, that guy?
I do know. Yep, exactly.
That's Kiefer Sutherland's half-brother. I didn't know that.
Is it really? Yeah. Oh, I had no idea.
And he also has an amazing voice and he should narrate everything. That guy. Anyway,
was he left out there next to like a? Do we see him again after that?
I don't think we see him again. I think they mention him and say that he's recovering. Him.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, because he was wearing protective gear and didn't die.
Right, exactly.
That was a pretty good damn season, I thought.
It was a good finale.
Yeah, I liked.
Yeah, how are you going to say it?
It's mixed. It's mixed because there were some episodes where I was like, this is just her staring angrily at the camera all the time.
Elizabeth Moss and this is Elizabeth Moss in most of Handmaid's Tale. Ready?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, basically. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The entire thing felt like her just, and it's always angled down a little bit. And she's looking up like this.
Always angled down, grinning. But it's always like, you know, weird twitchy eye things like.
Yeah, and the whole time I'm like, no, you guys, we get it. She's really pissed, and she's been through some shit, and she wants revenge. Yeah. This is all good, but you don't have to tell me every 3 seconds how mad she is. Like, let's get some story going. So there are times like that annoyed me, but there was one episode in particular. I'll say this. The star of this season,
yeah,
like, hands down, far and away, the best thing in the thing is Serena slash Stravinsky, whatever her name is.
Yeah, Yvonne Stravinsky.
Gosh, dang Stravinsky. It, she's good. I mean, go back and watch Chuck. If you watch Chuck and go, I bet she... You never once go, I bet she's going places. She's so good.
Her performance and her character's story arc kind of make you realize that this whole series was almost as much about her as it was about June.
Yeah. Yeah. In a way, like, I'm more interested in her arc. I'm more interested in Nick and what he's doing. Yeah. He's one of the most interesting characters on TV. So in a weird way, the series is like kind of passed the baton to others. I think that's fine.
Totally. Totally.
But not near enough, Alexis Bledel or whatever her name is.
Oh yeah, she's great.
She needs to be in this stuff more because
Janine.
No. You're thinking of Janine, the character, different character. The one I'm talking about is the Gilmore Girls girl. She played Rory on Gilmore Girls. She's in.
Yeah, is that not my? Oh, right. Glasses. She came. Right. Okay.
She was part of the little. She was part of the gang up.
Yeah,
I don't want to give anything away. But
she has problems with Janine.
No, not her. Different girl.
Not her. Okay.
She has glasses. She used to be a doctor.
Oh, who am I thinking of? Okay, yeah, I'm looking at Alexis Bledel right now, and I was completely thinking that was the actress who played Janine. I'm completely...
And she is underused, Alexis Emily. Bledel. Yeah. Oh, Emily, that's Emily. It. And Emily. And here's the problem. Everyone just looks at her and goes, oh, she's Rory on Gilmore Girls. Kind of one-note character, doesn't really do anything interesting. She's freaking great in this. Huh. And just underused. And Janine is also good. They're all good.
Janine is also really good, yeah.
Aunt Lydia, my gosh, what's her name?
Ann Dowd.
Ann Dowd freaking kills it.
Another, great character development.
I agree. I don't know where that's going. Which is good. I don't want to, I want to be on pins and needles with her because I can't tell if she's going to rebel. Is she going to do something from the inside? Right. Like, I don't know, man.
So you haven't seen the last,
I saw the last one. I'm done. Yeah.
You did. Okay.
Yeah. And at the end, all you get is
I see what you're saying. At the end, you're asking those questions. I'm like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what's the next and final season going to look like? Who knows? But I'm sure it'll be a lot of Elizabeth Moss going,
I thought, hold on. This wasn't the final season.
No, there's one more.
I thought this was the end.
At least one more, I think. I know one more for sure. Really? That surprised me because the end of that thing in the train.
Yeah, I thought, okay, what an interesting way to end it. Nice, it's.
Oh no, they're not done.
I like that as closure on those two characters.
Oh wow. I mean, I guess so. Exists. There's not. But the problem is, nobody else has any closure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Right.
So if they had stopped there, I would have been like, "Are you kidding?"
Well, actually, yeah, that's a really good point. We still have a couple major horrible players in the.
Like what's going to happen to Janine? Still. What's going to happen to Nick? What's Bradley Whitford's character going to do?
Bradley Whitford is the one I'm specifically thinking of. Like, yeah,
I love him.
I do too.
That show's great. It just.
Yeah.
Too many episodes of her looking pissed.
Dude and I were both like, all right, Handmaid's Tale done. It's interesting. Like, we both, I felt more satisfied with that ending than I do with shows that had the actual ending.
That's interesting. Well, then, bonus. You're going to get new stuff.
Bonus.
I get
it's like a bonus season. It's like after the credits, entire season.
So there you go. Oh, stinger. I guess the
10 episode stinger to look forward to.
This and one of the worst tellings of a news story today, a toilet exploded. That's really the story. That's the whole
thing. Oh yeah, that's right. It was funny that we got this far without this without even really giving up.
Yeah. They still don't know what
exploding toilet.
And they still don't know. It's still a mystery. They don't know what exploded it. They just know it exploded. So it's not even as cool a story as what we talked about. So I'll tell you this one instead. Another bathroom story, but this one is a happy ending. McDonald's employees help deliver a baby in a restaurant bathroom.
Oh, it's a different kind of exploding bathroom mystery.
Yeah, right? I mean, in a way, you're not wrong. Employees have nicknamed a baby Nugget. They're calling this little baby Nugget. I like that. Even though it's made of real people. Anyway, after she was delivered in an Atlanta McDonald's. So good job, Georgia. Let's see. Alexandria Worthy says her labor was intensifying as and her fiance was driving her to the hospital Wednesday morning when they stopped so she could use the bathroom at the fast food restaurant. So she wasn't even eating there. She was just like, oh, I gotta get in there. She went to the bathroom and her water broke immediately. Bam! Pop! That's the sound it makes, right? Pop. Just goes pop.
That's right. And like the broken shake machine, basically, is the sound that thing made.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, you know, common to all McDonald's.
That's right.
Worthy said she started screaming. Restaurant manager Tunisia Woodward went to see what was happening. I opened the door and I didn't see anyone, but I saw her feet under the door. I opened it and she was on this toilet lying back screaming. That's when I knew to call my crew. We're having a baby today, she says.
Wow.
So anyway, they tried to calm her down. It says they got her on the floor. They got her clothes off. The ladies in the McDonald's were at her front side holding her hands. I had her feet propped up to her knees and told her to push three pushes. She was a fighter, says the girl at the restaurant. Boy, it sounds like somebody who's really into it.
Give her something hard to bite down on. How about the 3 o'clock chicken sandwiches?
Yep. Nandy was born 15 minutes later.
Aw, Nandy.
Let's see here.
You came and you gave without taking.
She says she literally popped out into my hand. The parents tell TV station Divine Intervention brought them to that McDonald's that day where three women would be there to help them. I don't know, man. Don't.
Just as likely that Grimace got involved.
Yeah, Grimace.
Grimace brought them.
Mayor McCheese made it possible with some good legislation, you know? The police burger, what's his name? There's a burger with a, who's a policeman.
The Hamburglar. Oh, the police. I'm sorry. What is that guy?
He's the Popo burger.
Officer Quarter Pounder. I can't remember what his deal is.
He might be a Quarter Pounder. I think you're right.
Yeah.
He had some hand in this.
He looks like, by the way, I think there's some nepotism because he definitely looks like the mayor's brother.
It's always connections and who you know, man.
That's right. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. You gotta try to promote from within the family.
Officer Big Mac? No way, really?
Is it Officer Big Mac?
Big Mac?
Really? Really?
So then what's Mayor McCheese?
He's the mayor. Oh, he's just cheeseburger. He's just cheeseburger.
Just a cheeseburger?
Yeah, but from like the old times, from McDonald's in the early days when the cheeseburger was like a major menu item. I think that's
funny because I've always felt like Mayor McCheese had a I guess he is just a cheeseburger. I thought he had a middle, the middle bun like a Big Mac does.
Oh, like a double cheese?
He's really just got the, he's just a.
Damn it. Why does McDonald's sound good right now? What the frick?
It does not.
It does to me. I don't know why. Someone smacked that out of me. Now that I got my taste back, everything tastes good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that is good. I have some leftover curry. I'll eat that today.
There you go.
Well, anyway, she's healthy and happy and all as well, this baby.
Black Friday, you can get the Funko Pop collection of Officer Mac, Grimace, Ronald McDonald, Hamburglar, and Mayor McCheese for $140.
No.
Funko Pops of all five of them.
Yeah, I'm just not doing it. I'm just not going to do it.
If anyone wants it, I'll sell my Cabbage Patch. What is it? What is this?
Oh,
dude? He's the...
He's
cactus leaf blossom.
Whatever is
weirdo four-eyed thing.
Yeah. Have you looked around to see if those are worth anything after that promotion?
No.
Should check eBay.
If I had kept it in its bag, it would be. And the sad thing is, I knew once I pulled the bag out that it was that was the dude in there because it was semi-transparent. You could kind of feel his shape.
Right,
so to speak, through the bag.
Yeah,
hello.
Yeah, it's all good so far. Yeah,
it's all great content. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I could have kept him in the bag and then sold that for $150 or $200 or whatever.
Oh my gosh, dude, really?
But I don't know. I don't know what an unbagged cactus Pete.
We don't know what it. That's the funny thing is. No one should know who this is.
I care so little about this stupid thing that let's see here. What's it called? Cactus Plant Flea Market.
Junior.
Let's see here. someone is offering Birdie and Two Cactus Plant Flea Market. Their eBay label is Need Gone.
Need Gone?
Need Gone is the...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. They're serious.
There's a Cactus Plant Flea Market McDonald's unopened toy, but it's only $4.25. These things have... Oh, yeah. 99 cents. make offer. Okay. These things are
They're poopski.
They are poopski. The fervor has died for the cactus plant flea market dude.
The other day, these are the only two things I bought on Black Friday, and they were digital. It was almost like Cyber Friday for me.
Yeah,
I bought a Tron figure of Flynn inside Tron World. So
oh, cool.
That character
from the original, not the new Flynn.
Correct.
Not Tron reboot,
Tron reboot, but the old school one, looking very 80s, stupid helmet, all that.
Nice. I love those.
Yeah. They're pretty cool. And it was like $4 on sale. So I was like, all right, I'm grabbing that.
Oh, really? Wow.
And that's like a 12-inch thing. It's pretty big. 8 to 12. And then the other one was a Halo Master Chief sitting on a what's the little ATV they have in the game?
Bench.
On a park bench.
On a park bench.
Master Chief on a park bench. Eyeing little girls. I can't think of the name of the thing. It's not Warhog. Chat knows, maybe. Anyway, whatever the little bikes are. That was like $5. I'm like, why are these figures so cheap? So I bought them.
Nice. I bought Tina her Christmas present.
Nice.
And I bought, I bought Marvel Mayhem? No, Marvel Remix, that card game that Dan told us about last week.
Oh, yeah. Did you get it on sale somewhere?
I got it on sale at Games and Stuff.
Damn it.
Online.
Because I grabbed that.
Amazon has it for super high, and all the local places I borrowed Tina's car to drive to, none of them had it. But I did discover a new game store that I definitely want to go back to.
What's it called? Marvel what again?
Marvel Remix.
Remix. I want to say Snap because it's always anyone talks about.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Marvel card game. It's. Yeah. And guess what we got coming out Friday? Another Marvel card game,
everybody.
XCOM style Marvel card game.
Oh, Amazon is actually out at the moment now. Sold out. But I was going to try to find that somewhere. It just was so expensive everywhere.
Yeah.
For a deck builder. But.
Yeah. It was $19.99 at. Games and Stuff, although I did pay, I wanted quicker shipping, so I paid for like $8 shipping or something.
It's not bad. There's worse things to do.
There's far worse things, yes. Yeah.
I spent $8 to get some hot Thai soup yesterday. So,
ooh, yeah. Worth it.
Worth it. Worth every penny of that delivery.
Tom Yum.
Yeah, the hot stuff again. Still trying to get rid of whatever remaining stuffy head bull crap I have with this thing in this cough, and that's the only stuff that seems to do anything.
It's amazing that stuff is working for you.
Oh,
it's great.
So good. It just clears me up for like 3 hours. I love it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, our old pal Steven Schleicher back from his week away with his kids, and we got some stuff to talk about, so we'll get to all of that in a moment, but we need music to break things up with. I assume you brought something.
I did. Look, if you're a lover of boozy, in-your-face indie rock, a rush of dynamic rage and emotional catharsis, well, you know, I've got just the thing for you. This is a band called The Luca State. Their forthcoming album called More Than This will be released on March 10th, 2023 via 30 Tigers Records. This is the album's title track. It is called More Than This. Here are The Luca State.
This week, and I can't deny that the system keeps failing me over again, over and over again. She said, I'm down on my knees, and I'm waiting for
What's your name, please?
I'm Mary.
What is going through your mind?
I use my man's mama.
It's Handsome Lars and his Fabulous Jars.
The Morning Stream. Oh my, they're hurting us like cattle.
And we've returned. Who is that band again and song?
That band again is the Lucas State. This album doesn't come out till March, but you can enjoy this one track and I think a couple more. The album is called More Than This. That is the title track.
Always makes me think of More Than This.
Yeah, the song that, was it 10,000 Maniacs covered originally by Roxy Music?
Oh.
Brian Ferry, Roxy Music.
Once again, I didn't know there was a... I didn't know about the cover status. Damn it.
Yes.
Brian knows it all. He knows all.
I know it all.
By the way, like a lot of the games that Dan talked about, Cascadia,
yeah,
which I recognize just from looking at the box, Fjords, Root is one he talked about. A lot of these are on sale. Ooh, the Marvel United First Class of the Marvel United games,
yeah,
and locations and playmats are all on sale over at gamesandstuffonline.com.
Nice. So, that sounds like a cool source for cool
it
stuff.
It really is. I didn't, you know, I bought something here a while back, and so I get the email on Black, you know, today for Cyber Monday, and it's like, oh, these are some good deals in here. Holy cow.
Very nice. Well, let's have another good deal with this feller.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Steven Schleicher, how the heck was your Thanksgiving, man?
12 people, 3 toilets, 1 plumbing system that hadn't been upgraded since 1981.
Wow.
You do the math.
Wow. I don't like the sound of any of that.
One plunger in the whole house. So the constantly was like, has anyone seen the plunger? Which bathroom is the plunger?
Oh my gosh, dude. That sucks. I hate that. So wait, this was like what, relatives or something?
This is at my in-laws' house.
In-laws' house, okay.
Yeah.
They need to work on that plumbing thing. They need to get that working.
I think they're at the time where it's like, we need to be cleaning up the house for sale.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I get you. Moving, get out of there. So get yourself
No, not getting out of there. It's just they're going to, I'm sure, just prepping for the...
the inevitable.
The
final
one
countdown.
One of those kind of sad things.
I get you.
They're 80s. They're like 85, 86, something like that.
Yeah. That's right around my mom. She's 84 now. She's married to a guy who's 93 and still drives. I don't know how that works, but whatever.
It was a lot of fun, though. It was good to see nieces and nephews I haven't seen in, I don't know, probably 10 years. So,
wow, that's actually kind of cool. Well, hopefully nobody shared any bugs with anyone else in your
home.
We'll
find out in 3 days. Right?
Yeah. let it incubate for a couple of days. It's good to have you here. We're going to talk about a few things. I guess both your sons are now way into Marvel Snap. Let's talk about that for a second.
You're at your grandparents' house. They don't have anything to do. And so I'm like, hey, you guys like some card games, some challenge games. Check out Marvel Snap. And so they started playing it and they were both hooked. And then one of my nephews, who's kind of a gamer kid, I was like, well, do you like card logic games? And he's like, yeah, they're okay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, check out Marvel Snap. And the next morning, he's still sitting there playing Marvel Snap. So,
wow.
People converted. No affiliate link.
Once again.
If only
you guys...
we could get some money from Second Dinner for all the people we've referred to that game.
Yeah, no kidding. I feel like Brian in particular has been the evangelical sort of source for a lot. I know
nobody,
he is for me.
Seriously, nobody would know about this game if it weren't for me.
There'd be no knowledge of it. nobody'd have any idea. But are you, I know within our circles, though, you've been influential when it comes to the game.
I was on a show last night, part-time gamers with Cyrenex and September and Theo, all 3 contestants from America's Next Top Podcaster who joined together. They Voltroned into part-time gamers, and I was on the show last night to talk about Marvel Snap.
I was on there once, and it was funny because September was with her parents or somebody in New York or something, and she had the worst internet connection I've ever experienced in my entire life. So it was a little like Avenue 5. Remember those episodes where they had delay? Yes. They had to wait forever.
Say something and then be like, the minute goes by and then they're responding. Yeah.
Well, I love that show. All right, Steven, let's get to some meat here. Okay. 525/77 arrives on Blu-ray. What is this?
Yeah, so there's a lot of talk about the Fablemans, the Steven Spielberg biography, where you see what influenced him and what made him get into the movies, and of course his family life with that. The movie 52577 is about this filmmaker who, as a young child, got into movies like all the 2001 Space Odyssey, you know, Planet of the Apes, all of this stuff. And then hears that there's this Star Wars movie coming out and knows that George Lucas is involved with it. And it's his switch into becoming, you know, a lover of movies to, I want to make movies and I want to make special effects movies with all practical effects. The thing about this is that this movie has been in production for 16 years. The first time I heard about it was in 2005 2006, and I've been in contact with the director, writer, creator ever since then, saying, hey, is this movie out yet. About 5 years ago, he sent me a in progress editing. You know, he was in the middle of editing. He's like, here's an early release taking around to show to investors, and it was very good then. And then finally this movie comes out, and it's about the love of movies and special effects.
This is Patrick Reed Johnson. Is this the guy you've been talking to? He's a little older than us, but clearly of our generation. This guy's known for writing Dragonheart, Bill and Ted, Excellent Adventure, visual effects. He directed Baby's Day Out, which is a little weird.
Put that on my resume.
Yeah, stick that on there immediately. But Angus, he directed Angus. That was a pretty good movie.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's doing all the special effects stuff himself. So at times there's some stuff that's a little, it's a story, I think, that has a lot of heart and a lot of coming of age type stuff of what does it mean to have a dream and what does it mean to follow it back in the 70s and how does that lead to a career?
And this is that kid from Freaks and Geeks is in it. I say kid, he's in his 30s now.
Martin Starr or
John Francis Daly, the nerd kid.
Oh, okay. We always say that kid from Freaks and Geeks, and there's like six.
Yeah, it's true.
But also keep in mind, this movie was probably shot almost 20 years ago. And now it's just getting its big official release. And so here's this person who's in his 30s, who in the film is still a young kid.
Pretty young. Yeah, it's weird to see that. Yeah. There it is. John Francis Daly. So the cover looks like Drew Struzan drew it. I know he probably didn't, but it's like such a throwback
influenced.
Look at this thing. I'll just stick it in our Discord. But that looks like maybe it is Drew Struzan. I don't know. Hey, if you had trouble
he's got a lot of contacts in the industry. So
yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me if he did.
That'd be amazing. Anyway, I want to see this. This sounds great. What's funny is some of his influence is people like Spielberg, who now has a movie about coming of age filmmakers. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's all about just this on Blu-ray, right? So not streaming yet.
Okay. No, not streaming yet. I believe it comes out on Showtime in December.
Okay. And this is, this one reminds me of that. There was the Star Wars one with the kids who...
Yes, that their friend was dying and they needed to go see Phantom Menace.
Oh, Phantom Menace, right. That's what this reminds me of, just looking at this
thing. So just imagine that you both of you who are, you know, teenagers, and obviously you weren't teenagers in 77, but imagine you're a teenager who wants to go and you hear this thing about Star Wars. You've seen a trailer for it, and it's your life's, you know, mission to not only see this movie, but also make this movie and go and be part of the industry. And you know, since it's semi-autobiographical, he does get to meet Steven Spielberg. There's a great actor who plays a very young Steven Spielberg in the film, and how he gets involved with not Cinelog, but one of those behind the scene movie magazines that looks at special effects and the creation of special effects. Sure. So anybody who has a love for special effects and just the practical side of special effects will probably want to check this movie out.
Yeah, I'm very interested in this. This seems like it's going to tickle all my nostalgia bones, you know?
Sure. Just keep in mind, it is a true independent film. So there's some spots that are rough, but overall, I think the story has a lot of charm and heart.
Yeah, it feels like if this guy's been working on this for 20 years, a bit of a passion project, which I always appreciate those.
Yeah, yeah.
I was reading yesterday a whole bunch of stuff about the new Indiana Jones. Harrison Ford's come out and said, basically, he wasn't even interested in the fifth movie, but after making it, he is convinced this is some of the best work they've done. He loved it. He thinks Mangold was the right guy for the directing job. Like, there's a lot of positive stuff being said in and around post-production of Indiana Jones and the... Do we even have the title? What's the new title?
I think it's just Indiana Jones 5. That's all we know,
right? That's all
now.
We know, right? But it'll end up being like Indiana Jones and the
final adult
adventure. The final adventure, yeah, right.
But anyway, I guess he's getting de-aged, kind of Marvel style in the
going
film.
Going from a movie about a kid who loves practical effects to Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they're going to use CGI and they're going to take 85-year-old, or however old he is, Harrison Ford, and they're going to roll him back to 39 years old for the opening sequence of the film where he's going to be punching Nazis and a whole bunch of other stuff.
I think this can be done well, so I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing how they do it. It's been done pretty well in other things. We can deep fake stuff pretty well that way. However, this is interesting because the interview I read yesterday with Mangold, the director, was he was aiming to do as much practical effects as possible with this movie. And so he was avoiding CG at every turn, but it sounds like there's this case where if you need young Indiana for your story, how else are you going to do it?
Yeah. Harrison Ford, in I think the same interview, was like, "This is the first time I've seen it. I believe it. It's a little spooky." I don't think even one know how it works, but it works.
Yeah. He's stoked, man. He seemed excited about it, which he's not known to be for things. He's usually just kind of, I'm going back to my...
And then he yelled at the person to get off his plane. And
yeah, get off my plane. I'm going back to my Wyoming ranch with my Ally McBeal wife. Rah.
Right.
She belongs
in a museum.
I'm excited about this movie.
Yeah, and I cannot wait. I mean, this is the movie that got me interested into doing film and video work when I was a 10-year-old. So, you know, Brian has The Shining. I've got Raiders of the Lost Ark. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you had a movie that totally changed your life, Scott. But
oh, it was just Star Wars, man. Just
Star Wars,
100% at the time. Yeah, it was just like, whoa, my whole life is different after Star Wars. Like a whole trajectory change. No question. I was only 7 or 8, but I felt a tangible, like, shift in direction. It's hard to explain. I think a whole generation of kids can say this.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. When I sat in the theater and watched Raiders of the Lost Ark, I was like, holy crap, this is great. I want to do this.
Yeah, it wasn't so much The Shining for me as it was Star Wars. The Shining connection is something far different. But
But I mean, you've got to be at least more interested in movies.
Oh yeah,
since that
since that experience,
When you auditioned for that, did they have you ride around on the trike or any of that stuff? Or
No, it just went into a. it's almost like you see in movies where you've got a bunch of people, instead of sitting at a table all watching you, or three people sitting at a table, they were kind of sitting on the floor because we're a bunch of kids. So they kind of want to come down our level, and there was a camera. Above them that they were just asking me questions, and I didn't have to do any lines or anything. It was just like, you know, we're talking to you and like getting an idea of who you are. And apparently they didn't like who I was. So
did they ask to look in your mouth or raise your finger or anything like that?
Hope not. Jeez.
They did not.
He doesn't got the right finger for the job.
Can you say red rum?
Yeah. Say it like an old lady if you can.
Billy.
Did you, was director, what's his beak there?
Or? No, oh, no.
Okay. That would have been intense.
Kubrick was not there. Well, if he was there, I didn't recognize him, or I wasn't introduced to him. But, you know, who knows? Maybe there was a mirrored, one-way mirror that he was on the other side.
I love that idea. Such a great story. Yeah. Well, all right. So that's the thing. Watch for that. What's a release for this? Next year sometime? I don't even know.
Next year, yeah.
Okay. I'm excited about that movie.
Wow.
Betty is the final girl, okay, in the new horror anthology from Archie Comics. Finally, Archie doing
weird
stuff again.
Betty doing something. We've had enough of Veronica.
Yeah, that's right.
Now let's get to Betty.
So one of the surprising things over the last, probably decade, is Archie just doing these non-Archie comics. Everyone thinks of Archie as this great, wholesome, semi-Christian comic book series. But then, about 10 years ago, they're like, hey, what if we do zombies? What if we do horror? What if we bring back our superheroes? And their horror series really went over like gangbusters. People just love this stuff. And they continue to do these one-shots and limited series every once in a while. And their final one is Betty the Final Girl, which will play upon the trope of the final girl in the horror movies, slasher movies, where Betty will get to go after
So this isn't Why the Last Man, where Betty's just the last woman on Earth or something.
No. This is playing on the final girl.
She's evaded Jason and Freddy, and she's the final girl.
Okay. Yeah, in the slasher film. So if you want to see your Archie comics get a little horror, then this one's coming up in February 2023. So you can go and get that.
I liked the one zombie one you turned me on to.
Afterlife with Archie. That was really good.
That was great. That surprised me.
The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is the one that got turned into the Netflix series.
Oh, that's right. And that's
I didn't realize that there was actually a comic that was, you know, the darker side of things.
And of the two, I actually thought The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina was better, and it's written by the same guy, Roberto I forgot what his last name was. Aguirre Sakasha, I think is his name.
Mm. Okay.
And both of those you need to check out. If you haven't read, if you want some horror comics, Afterlife with Archie and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina are fantastic reads. So I suspect that Betty the Final Girl, it's only a one shot. It's not a series. Will also have a lot of good stuff in it.
Yeah. Cool. This is worth checking out. I think it's interesting to see how they turn this ancient, you know, thing that's been around since the 30s, 40s. The Archie started.
It's 50s? One of the early comic books. It's one of the early comic book series.
It's fascinating how they just figured out a way to give it this kind of life. I don't know. I respect it. I don't love all the stuff from it. Like, I don't really like the show. What's the show called?
Riverdale.
Riverdale. Can't stand Riverdale. It's just too backstabby. WB whatever.
Too Berlanti.
It's very Berlanti, but it's not. But I like that it's a thing and that it has its fans. I think that's cool. So well done, Archie. You weird ginger. Okay, let's move on. And you got anything else going on at Major Spoilers? Because man, people are chomping at the bit to get more content. What can you give them?
We are in the closing weeks of the year, which is really surprising. So we've got a few more surprises coming up. The Major Spoilers podcast this week. We're reading the comic My Boyfriend Is a Bear. And I'm not really sure if this is supposed to be a metaphor or not. But
like bear up in like Idaho bear?
It's a girl who actually is dating a bear.
An actual bear. Like a
large hairy gay man?
Yeah, not, I don't know. So not large hairy gay men, but like an actual...
Nope, an actual bear.
Bear. Okay. That's fine.
It's weird and it's different. And I went into it not knowing anything about it and left going, some things to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. By the way, I have this friend, and I was much younger. I think we were maybe in our early 20s, late teens. His name was also Scott. And he was, if it was even possible, he was skinnier than me, shorter and skinnier than me, just a skinny kid. I reconnected with that guy maybe a month ago, found him on Facebook. He now literally lives in Idaho, which is famous for having, you know, a pretty big bear community up there. And he's...
Bear or
gigantic man now. Like, it's just buff beyond belief, and is the hairiest, gayest bear man. he couldn't have changed more. Like, imagine me turning into, I don't even know what I would have to look like, but it's unrecognizable as this guy I used to know. Anyway, it's totally fine. He's very happy up there, and it's all good, but it just threw me for a loop. Anyway, there's a fun story for you to take home to your kids. Hey, Steven, is there anything else? Oh, no, you already told us what else is going on, so check it out.
Seriously, though, both of you sound like you got some sniffles still, Brian, and I know, Scott, you're still recovering.
Yeah.
So the most important thing for both of you right now is to stay hydrated.
That's good advice. I like that.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Do you have the sniffles? Are you?
I have the sniffles.
Yeah. The sniffs.
But I get the sniffles starting in November and ending in March, so
seasonal sniffles.
Right? Seasonal sniffles.
Season sniff, Brian over there. And you're going to season Vermont. Sniffles. That'll be fun. That's nice and cold and snowy up there.
That'll really do wonders for my.
You can see your dad and stuff. That'll be fun.
Yes. Yeah, it'll be nice to get some pre-Christmas hangout time with my dad.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah. We'll let you guys know what that means.
Can
for
you
content,
schedule? But. Can you reschedule your Texas trip for while I'm in?
That's the other thing. I don't even know when we're redoing that. I think it'll be after the first, is my guess. After the first of the year, I don't actually know. All right, that's it for that. Sorry, one quick thing. Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. Something yes. I noticed. All right. I did a watch of this because I do every year.
For Thanksgiving. Yep.
For Thanksgiving.
One of the, it's one of the best Thanksgiving film.
Truly. I mean, honestly, I don't think we have quite come to grips with just how much we got out of John Hughes. John Hughes films are so great and so multi-generational. I mean, Breakfast Club is the perfect example for me. Because
so many levels, you know, the fans at every level can enjoy them.
Yeah, they're just all so great. Anyway, that movie is one of the greatest movies ever made and certainly the best Thanksgiving film ever made. Or maybe even holiday film. I don't know. I might come close to just saying it's one of the greatest films ever made. But anyway, I noticed while watching it and found this article to kind of to sort of confirm all of this. We're not going to read too much of it or get into it, but I wanted the chat to have it. But basically, it comes down to this. That movie is entirely solved immediately in modern times. And by that, I mean Lyft, Uber, and cell phones. That's it.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Done. All of it's fixed. With those, the advent of cell phones and car ride sharing.
Yeah.
And so
all of it,
it will forever be stuck in the time it's stuck in because of that. And that's fine. Still classic and amazing.
Sure.
But I do wonder if there's some future generation of kids who watch that movie and just go, why don't they just call, you know, an automated Uber pickup?
And why don't they just pull out their cell phone and...
Yeah, it's like, exactly. Did you guys really not have cell phones back? Like, I could just see that being a thing.
It is. It's, you know, I mean, we look at movies like The Out-of-Towners and things like that and say, we could say the same thing. Jack Lemmon, if he just would have, like, pulled out a payphone and gotten a cell phone and booked an Uber, then all their problems would have
all
been
their
fine.
Problems go away. Yeah, it's funny how that works. And so I'm actually kind of, it weirdly had this other effect on me where modern things... I have more respect now for the writing in modern stuff because the modern stuff have to account for these conveniences. Right. And if they can still pull it off and create tension and create drama and all this with those conveniences, I think that's kind of hard and good when they can pull it off. So,
hi, police. Yeah, there's a guy in a hockey mask coming after me with a machete. I'm going to go ahead and hang out in the...
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah. I don't know. It's just been on my mind.
Crystal Lake? Yeah. Uh-huh. That's where I'm hanging out. Do you see my GPS? I'm sending you a push pin right now with my Apple Maps. Yeah. Okay. See you in a few minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Solved. Yeah. Done. Jason has no purview over your life.
Exactly. Maybe kills Kevin Bacon, but that's about it. Maybe that's it.
There you have it. One tiny recommendation. It was actually because Brian liked it, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to watch it. I watched the Guardians holiday thing after you did.
Kevin Bacon. Yeah.
That was a great time.
Yeah, it's light, fluffy fun.
Yeah, and it's short. It's like 49 minutes or something. And it reminded me of those Christmas specials when we were kids. They're terrible now, but...
Exactly.
That's clearly what they were doing. James Gunn's obviously a fan of that stuff. And it was just silly and fun and short. And Mantis is my MCU crush and continues to be.
Yeah.
I didn't expect...
Pom Clementief or however it's pronounced.
However you say her name. Yeah, she's awesome. Oh my gosh. I love it.
Her interaction with Drax, like those two, I want a buddy road trip movie with Mantis and Drax.
Yeah.
I guess this was kind of it, but I want a full 2 hours of just Mantis and Drax.
Yeah, it was really fun. Really, really good.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it. See it before the holidays.
There is a stinger, but of course there's going to be a stinger. And what was I going to say? There was something I was going to say about that.
Oh shit, I missed the stinger. There's a stinger? Oh shit.
There is a stinger, yeah.
I assume there wouldn't be one for that.
It's a Marvel thing, Scott.
Yeah, but I don't know why I thought there wouldn't be anything. I need to go look now.
It's cute. It's as light and fluffy as the rest of it.
Okay.
What about, but you still haven't seen Werewolf by Night, right?
No, still haven't seen that.
Okay.
I should see that.
This Guardians holiday special was actually the first Marvel thing planned for Disney Plus before WandaVision, before any of that stuff. This was the one that they were making plans for first.
Weird.
And it's taken this long for them to get it done.
That's really weird. Yeah. Well, they got in under the wire because James Gunn's like, all right, see you, Marvel. I'm off to DC for.
He still has Guardians 3 for things to wrap up, but I think filming's already done with that.
Yeah, I think they're done with principal photography. That's next year too, right? Next year, I think.
Is it? I think so.
I think it's their major Marvel for the year next year. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Who's major Marvel? There's like 8 movies coming out next year.
Are there? I thought there was only like 2.
We got Ant-Man, Quantumania. We've got Marvel's, the Captain Marvel's sequel.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You still have to watch the original.
I thought that was 2024, but that's fine.
Well, let me see. Because those things get shifted around all the time. So hold on a second.
That's true. Any given weekend, and they're like, we moved it.
Yes, May is Guardians 3. Marvel's is July. Captain America New World Order is, that one's next year. Mm. So Ant-Man and the Wasp, Guardians, Marvel's, and then is there something later on the year?
Holy shit, I take it back. That's a lot of Marvel next year. They have plenty coming out.
Blade got pushed to 2024.
Yeah.
Echo?
Is Echo a thing?
Echo's going to be a TV show, I believe. So, I mean, but then we do have all the Disney Plus series. So we've got Secret Invasion, Echo, Loki, Ironheart, Daredevil Born Again.
Right.
Kraven the Hunter. Okay. Sure.
All right. X-Men 97.
Not quite MCU, but okay.
Blade got, yeah, you're right about Blade. I hate that got pushed.
Agatha, the Coven of Chaos thing at the end of the year.
Well, there's a bunch of stuff.
There is a bunch of stuff.
All right. Yeah. Well, no shortage of Marvel content coming up.
I'm bummed Thunderbolts got pushed to, or I guess to, is a 30, or is 2024, but.
Oh, Thunderbolts. Well. Yeah, July of 2024.
July of 2024.
That's the big, that's like the capper to phase four, right? I think
it's so hard without there being a big Avengers style ending for each phase.
Yeah. And then Avengers Secret Wars in 2026.
Right, and the Kang Dynasty Dynasty before that. And
this is all getting interesting.
The multiverse saga.
It's a lot of shit coming down the pipe. If you guys are into it, you're into it.
But you've got time. You've got time to watch Captain Marvel. You've got time to watch Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yep.
You've got time to watch, what else is there? Thor Love and Thunder, you haven't seen yet?
No. Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that yet. So that one I got to watch. I have no problem watching that. Just haven't gotten around to it. I still haven't seen Dark World.
Werewolf by Night. Dark World.
Should I skip Dark World?
There's enough in Dark World that ties into... Actually, there's a big thing of Dark World that ties into Love and Thunder. So I hate to say it, but you probably should watch it.
Because there's a bunch... I mean, I know that it has ties to Endgame. But I don't know. I don't know why it feels weird to go back and watch that.
That's one, though, that you can put on, you know, while you're doing other things and pay half attention to it.
Oh, all right. Well, I have a project right now that's perfect for half attention viewing. So
cool. There you go.
All right. You've convinced me. Hey, quick email from Jeff Sire in Grafton, Ontario. He sent this email to themorningstream@gmail.com, and he says this. Oh, wait. I haven't done this in a while. He's in Canada, so here you go.
Canada!
All right. He says, Scott and Brian, the t-shirt I'm wearing in this picture is for the anniversary of D-Day. All right. So you people at home can't see this, but there is a photo. Which I will now share. It's a
very cool shirt.
It is rad.
Yeah.
Anyway, it says of D-Day, codename Operation Overlord. This is coming from our trivia questions last week where we were talking about beaches that we landed on. It says the top line lists all five of the beaches and the flag of the troops and the flag of the troops landing on the beach. U.S. flag for Utah and Omaha, U.K. flag for Gold and Sword, and Canadian flag for Juno, although we had a different flag at the time of the invasion. A regiment I served in, the Queen's Own Rifles. I love that. Mm-hmm. Landed in the first wave on Juno Beach. Our vets have insane stories of the landing that they would tell us. Anywho, mostly writing to say how happy Jen and I are that Scott and Kim are feeling better. Well, thank you for that. Kim's not so long COVID-y as me. She's done much better with this.
Well, somebody needs to keep you... in check, so it's good that she got out of the COVID fog.
I agree. Her birthday.
She can
tomorrow.
Pull you through.
Just so you know, chat and everybody listening, I'm going to tap you people tomorrow to just flood Kim with birthday messages tomorrow.
Tomorrow's her birthday.
Yeah, I want to overwhelm her with Frog Pants family stuff. Yeah. All right, that's the deal. That's the deal. Anyway, there you go, chat. That's a picture of Jeff and Jen. They're wonderful human beings. And you can see that cool flag he's wearing. That's pretty awesome.
That's really cool, yeah.
Thank you, Jeff, for your email. themorningstream@gmail.com is where you can send your version of an email, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd also love you to hop on over to patreon.com/TMS. We're nearing the end of the month, so it's a perfect time to hop in and be ready for the benefits that come in December. So get in there now. patreon.com/TMS is the place. You'll get pre-show content every single day. We'll have a couch party this weekend. We are doing one Friday, right?
We're finally back to, I guess we had a play date, so we did have a couch party last week, but back to actually watching something for a couch party.
Yeah, we're getting Ms. Marvel done. I'm excited to pick that up again.
Get two or three episodes, maybe three or four episodes in if they're short.
Yeah, they're shorty shorts. So there's that. Couch parties, like we mentioned, art in the mail, other great monthly benefits. Go check them all out at patreon.com/TMS. And if you're looking for anything else to request a song or any other thing we do here on the show, all of it is linked at frogpants.com/TMS. Speaking of music and requests, probably have one today. What do you got there, Brian?
I do. And it's funny because prior to you getting COVID, I had told the chat room or told the listeners, hey, we need more requests for November. Please get some more requests in for November. And then you got COVID and we had a whole week off and it's like, oh no, now I've got too many requests for November. So when I can, I'm going to try and double them up like today. Tom wrote in and said, hello, stuffing and birthday cake. The 24th was my wife, Malia's birthday, but I doubt you're going to have a show on Thanksgiving. Malia, you're amazing and can do anything you put your mind to. Here's to another year of realizing everything we know is wrong. She enjoys movie scores, metal, and Disney covers. An indie dedication would work too, as happened on our anniversary.
Nice.
And then Mrs. Taffy Guy Ronan said, I've waited long enough. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Said by Buddy the Elf, of course, in the movie called Elf. I'm ripping the Band-Aid off. It's now time for Christmas music to be played. Can we get a random van sound clip?
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, I can. Hold on. This can be arranged. let's do a good one here. How about random? Okay, I'll just pick. Here we go.
Can you say Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Say Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Do you have is the Obi-Wan Kenobi one handy?
I love that one. Obi-Wan Kenobi. Favorite, yeah. Hold on. Kenobi. Here it is. He can say it fully now. That was back in 2021. It was almost a year ago. That's weird. Wow. Looking at the date on here.
That's great.
Anyway,
my favorite clip.
Nice.
All right. Let's get to some Christmas music. And those of you playing the game, don't worry. This doesn't count. This is a cover, so covers don't count. This is brand new. I've been recently getting into the music of Remi Wolf. She is a new kind of indie pop songstress. Kind of whacked out. Her music is not family friendly in some cases, but it's, I don't know what it is about her voice and her arrangements, but I really, really like Remi Wolf. This is a brand new single that she just released. It is a double A side of Winter Wonderland and Wham's Last Christmas, which of course the latter is the one we're playing for you today. Here is Remi Wolf and Last Christmas.
See you guys tomorrow.
Last Christmas. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Do you want to play with me?